I want to welcome Liz Stanway to the studio. Morning, Liz.
Morning, Tamari, Aaron.
So it's Compost Week. Is it International Compost Week? Did I read that somewhere? I was trying to find that before.
It's next week.
Next week.
It's International Compost Awareness Week, they call it. Yeah.
And it's, but we've got you in this week because the first event of several events is happening this Saturday at Wairatuna School with Shai.
Yes.
So.
Yes, so we've got a whole week of compost focused activities and learning opportunities.
Yes.
Here. We haven't celebrated the week with so much energy before.
So this is not the first time that we had International Compost Awareness Week.
No.
It's always been out there.
Yeah, it's just Whangaroa hasn't gone, hey, let's do a week of stuff around compost. So
okay.
We're super excited to bring a whole lot of things next week for people to participate in.
So we know that you're doing some afternoon stuff for three afternoons next week, and
yes.
There's a science night that's got some relationship. There's films on as well, and
yes.
several composting things. But yeah, the first one, let's just go in chronological order, shall we? Talk about Shai's one.
Yeah.
So what's Shai? Who is Shai and what's he doing for us?
Oh, Shai Broad. He is an amazing gardener. He lives out at Ruapuki. Some people might have met him and enjoyed his beautiful produce at the growers' market.
Mm-hmm.
He is a master gardener, is very highly skilled and an amazing composter.
Right.
So the reason that his vegetables are so delicious and so perfect and so shiny and amazing is because he makes all his own compost, and he is a master craftsman. So
you get the soil right and just you can leave the plants to it at that point.
Oh, it's a little, I guess it's, you know, a bit of skill in growing the babies up. But, yeah, it all starts with the soil. And
yes.
So Shai knows that. He's been gardening probably all his life. but this is your chance to do a short workshop with him on hot composting. So if you've ever wanted to branch out into hot compost and make probably more compost than, you know, your average backyard compost.
Yep.
I know a few people have said they want to learn, then this is a great opportunity to learn from Shai. And you are helping Wairatuna School because that's where the workshop will happen between 1:30 and 4. You will be building compost for them so that they can grow their crops next year because they have a garden-to-table program where the kids grow food and then take it into school and cook with it and eat. So it's a really cool program. Mm. Yeah. And making the compost for them is a win-win, and you're learning at the same time. So,
and that's only $20 per person.
Yes.
For an afternoon on Saturday. And you can go to whangaroa.org.nz. I'm looking at the website and see the event. Or you can probably, if you go to find them on Facebook, you get a link through from there as well.
And book in through Humantix.
Does it go to that, does it?
Yeah.
Or you could go direct to Humantix.
You could
even
go direct to Humantix.
So many options.
Yes, but that is a really, really good one. And he'll be talking all about compost and soil and gardening as well. You know, you can tap into his amazing wealth of knowledge.
Yes, okay. And how hot is hot for a compost?
A hot compost system, you want it to get up to 55 degrees centigrade so that it kills pathogens and weed seeds. So that's one of the advantages of hot compost. You know, you can put your weedy stuff in there and know that it's going to get killed and not go back in the garden. And it helps to, basically you're steaming up all that organic matter so that it breaks down nice and easily afterwards. So it gets hot and then it cools down and then other organisms come in and munch it all down into crumbly compost.
And how hot is too hot, where you start to damage beneficial stuff?
Yeah, well, that's so that this is, you know, this is what we practice at Extreme. We manage a hot system. Well, we manage two systems. One of them is the hot one in the HCU. You don't really want it to go up much above 65. Between 65 and 70, you're losing nutrients to the atmosphere.
Well,
so by keeping it down low, you don't want to lose your nitrogen, which is, you know, important for plant growth, and also nitrogen gases are not good for the atmosphere. Mm. So you don't want your compost to be too hot.
So let's talk about the HCU, because you're going to be at Extreme Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday afternoons.
Just three afternoons, yeah.
Yeah, 12:30 to 5. And you'll be at the hot compost unit, and you can show people around, explain how it works. Can it get too hot in there? Like, is that something you have to manage? Because it's enclosed, isn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely something Rakai and I manage best we can by various turning, watering, especially the mix at the beginning is the most important thing, the recipe.
Ah.
So if you get the recipe right, you won't get that heating up. And if you get the water right.
Right. So you're getting our compost bags what's the pickup called? Food waste pickup.
Food waste collection.
Yeah.
Yep. And
But that's not all that's in there. Are you mixing some other stuff in?
No, so then we mix up shredded green waste.
Okay.
So if you come up on those three afternoons, I'll just be working up there. Those are my normal work days. And I will be on site. Rakai will be working as well. And you can see how we do it. And we'll explain a bit more if you've ever been intrigued by how we make the various compost products. We've got the two. We've got the HCU hot compost and then the cooler green waste system. So we've got two composting systems running. And we've got worm farms as well. So basically...
Where's the worm farm?
We've got some worm farm baths tucked away that we use to process our drain liquid. And then we've got another... we've got mainly baths at the moment. The Hungry Bin's up at the smoko room, lunch room, I should call it. No more smoko.
Yeah. It's kind of time for that one to pass
into
history. kick the smoko
habit.
Not
the smoking.
Just the sane. So folks, Liz is the person who designs the whole program, the compost program, the food waste program. So, and as certified compost, which apparently is a thing you can get, like, isn't it? Or no, it's not certified compost. What is it? Certified, the stuff that you sell, there had to be some certification process at the start.
No, it's not certified.
Is there something you sell? Some?
Oh, we test it so that it, beg your pardon.
Yeah.
It meets the composting trading standards.
Yeah.
So we test our compost to make sure that we can confidently say that this is compost and it will benefit your garden.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to know about that, what I'll actually do, if you're a compost nerd or a gardening really keen gardener and you interested in that kind of thing, nutrients and stuff, I'll have the information from the lab tests. So we send our samples away to Hill's lab every 6 months.
Yep.
And you can have a look at the results and I'll kind of explain some stuff. So it's just a chance. Any burning questions? I'm going to try and harvest some worms as well. So for people that I want to start up a worm farm, I'll have some worm giveaways.
Okay, and these are the special worms.
The compost worms. So they're not earthworms, they're tiger worms, and they like living in warm, funky, steamy.
Right, like the hot compost unit. Are they in the HCU? No, that's too hot, isn't it?
Too hot, yeah. They like it up to 30 degrees, so they're kind of tropical creatures.
Right.
Yeah, but... I can tell you a little bit about worm farming, but there's also another activity.
Yes.
At Pauline Abraham's backyard
on
composting
Friday.
And worm farming. Pauline is a very avid worm farmer, and she's hosting an afternoon at her place. So, 10 a.m. to 1, beg your pardon.
A morning. Yeah.
Look, how to worm farm.
Okay.
She's going to share all her tips.
So we've got Shai's thing this Saturday at Waitatuna. Compost is hot. We've got you for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday afternoons at Extreme. Any questions people have got can come and ask Liz. either about their own compost or about what's happening at Extreme. Mm-hmm. And then Friday morning, Pauline's place, backyard composting and worm farming. All of these can be booked through whangaroa.org.nz as well. And so I didn't know Pauline was also into that. She's a busy person.
Oh, yeah. A lot happening. She collects, well, I haven't seen her worm farms, but I've heard about them. And I know she collects lots of coffee grounds around town and does magic with coffee grounds. So if you're interested in that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a great gardener. She's a wealth of knowledge and enthusiasm. So I highly recommend that. That's another short little session, 10 to 1.
Okay.
So fit that into your Friday morning.
And I wanted to go back to what Extreme's doing, because you sell certain products. Like, what are the products that you sell in the sacks?
Okay, we've got, starting from the top, we've got the superfood compost, which is straight, it's out of the hot composter, sieved, no additives, just comes as it is, and that's like almost like a high nutrient fertilizer, really, or you can dig it into your soil. But we don't recommend planting into it because it's really rich.
Yes,
so,
too rich.
That's a good time of year to put that on, is now going into winter, so that the worms and the microbes can get it into your soil ready for next spring.
So that's one of the products.
That's one. And then Raglan's favourite, the other one, is the Garden Mix, which is a blend of the superfood compost and the compost that we make, the slower compost that we make with the green waste, blended together and sieved. And that is more suitable for planting straight into. So if you're making an instant garden or you're doing raised gardens, container garden, or good at gardening with big pots and things, then that's the one you can get in the bag.
Okay.
We don't sell that one bulk. And you can plant seedlings straight into it.
Okay. Is there anything else, or those are the?
Then we've got superfood mulch.
Yes.
Which is the chippy component of the superfood when we take it out of the composter and then we sieve it. So we get two products. We get the sieve stuff, which is nice and fluffy that I just mentioned.
Yes.
And then we get the woody chip component that didn't break down. And that, it's sort of like a wood, like a mulch, but it's impregnated with nutrients and lots of fungus and stuff because it's come through the composter.
Okay.
So that's really good for putting around fruit trees this time of year as we go into winter, around the drip lines. You know, it'll help suppress weeds and grass. It's good on garden beds.
You put it on
in
like
summer,
almost like a bark thing that people
do. Yeah, you know how people put bark around their trees.
Yeah.
Well, this is bark plus.
Bark definitely plus.
Because it's got
there's
nutrients
a lot of plus.
And lots of microbes and stuff that have come in through the composting process.
So I wanted to check. So we already talked about the process up at Extreme keeps the is the right temperature to knock out the weeds and the unwanted stuff, but not too high that it doesn't kill the beneficial stuff. Or get rid of the beneficial stuff. How does that, is it done differently if you get something commercially in Hamilton at one of the garden centres? Is their stuff different in any way? Like, do they use the same process or are they using?
No, they do a lot more blending. They might not be as, a lot of the compost, big commercial compost are made in open windrows.
Yeah.
So they don't always get the heat right out to the sides. So I have heard people having difficulties with things like oxalis coming out of commercial compost. Well, actually, I've had that myself.
Right, okay.
They
don't try to sterilise it or put Roundup through it or something? Do they even
do
that?
No, I haven't heard of them spraying it.
I'm asking these questions off the top of my head, so I don't really know.
What they do sometimes is, you know, they have big processes and they might not be as attentive to the mix as we are. So what they do at the end is quite often is they blend other things into the compost to bring it up to that standard that I was mentioning that
it's
we
like
work
fortified
to.
It's like fortified food.
Fortified,
they're throwing some stuff in
so
there.
Chicken manure is something they use to bring the nitrogen up and the phosphate. That's a common one. Whereas I like to think of the extreme compost as like a artisan cheese or something, or a wine. That's, you know, attention's yes. being paid to the process to produce the product that you want. And I'm very sorry.
I thought you tried to turn that off.
Light.
You put it in your pocket. So I should also say we're not going to get too much into the science of it with Liz, because Liz is going to be on the air again today. She's going to be on the air more than some of our DJs with Craig's Over the Fence show at 12:30. That's still the plan, is it?
Yeah, we're going to be talking more like about agricultural side of composting and farming and
yeah, because you understand
soil.
The science. Like you have to a degree.
I studied environmental science way back, but I've been avid soil. I've been fascinated by soil.
Yeah,
all my life really. So it's a combination of learning and just like practicing as well. So the doing and the learning at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's my passion. I'm a soil compost.
So 12:30, they'll be getting into the details with Craig, who could probably ask better questions than me.
And if you want, you know, that's the sort of things we can get into in the afternoons.
Yeah.
As well, next week, if people come up.
Yeah, so that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday afternoons. Liz will be at the HCU, the hot compost unit, where the piles of people will recognise the green waste drop off. So it's all around there.
And we've got cover there, you know, so we can have a
chat.
But I'm not structuring it because I find that doesn't really work for Raglan, you know, saying, oh, it's 1 o'clock and you have to be there. And
yes.
I thought, well, I'll just move myself up there for the week and do hands-on stuff, or, I can work on my laptop up there.
Right. Okay. So, yeah,
remotely.
Liz,
and, just.
So if you get your timing right, you might get Liz exclusively.
Yeah. You might get a one-on-one.
Yeah. It could be perfect. So we're talking about the compost week that's starting this Saturday going through the week. We've talked about the various composting events. There's a science night on Wednesday night with do's and don'ts. Do we know it? Can we say any more than that?
Well, that's I'm going to let Jasmine talk to you about that next week.
Okay.
But basically it's one of our...
It's related to compost, is it?
It's related, yeah, decomposing.
Oh, doo-doo as in doggy doo-doo, maybe.
Yeah, or even human doo-doos.
Right.
So it's about safe and how to safely and ethically productively decompose, get rid of that stuff, or use it beneficially.
So you can't just throw dog poo in your compost.
Well, that's what you can come along and ask about, that kind of thing, and what are the risks, and that's what it's all about. It's a panel discussion. I know that.
Are you on the panel?
Yes, I think so. I think so. I could get, kicked off.
You get bumped for someone.
More into the doo-doos.
Into doo-doos, yeah. You're not a doo-doo expert.
A little bit.
You started the HCU here, so I can't see you being bumped.
At home, so.
As well, yeah. I can't see you being bumped. I really can't.
But there's some other really, I will let Jess, you. Jasmine's super keen to talk to you next week, Aaron.
Okay, all right.
Like leading up to that that night.
Yeah, we'll set that up.
I think it will be really entertaining and and informative.
I won't be able to be there. That's a shame. The other thing that's happening for part of this week, and in fact this month, is there's a film. Now,
The film.
Let me just, I'm going to scroll if I can find the mouse. 6 inches of Soil. So that's on May the 5th, so that's Sunday, and also May the 19th, which is Sunday in 2 weeks' time. And Liz, do you know much about this film? Shall I read the blurb?
Not a lot, but I heard it's really good.
Okay. The inspiring story of British farmers standing up against the industrial food system and transforming the way they produce food to heal the soil, benefit our health, and provide for local communities. So this is set, obviously, in the UK. And those words are saying the same thing. Okay, that's all we've got from that. A picture of a sunflower.
Yeah. I just want to say that the theme of the compost week the International Compost Week this week is compost is nature's climate champion. So we're putting the lens on compost because, you know, it's a huge part of you know, getting carbon into the soil,
yeah,
and averting climate change. Like the, you know, I talked to Craig a bit about that.
Or repairing the damage that we've done as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's been realised. Oh,
Liz has lost control of her. She tried several times to turn her phone off. Just so everyone could stop calling her, because Liz doesn't know how to turn her phone off.
Yeah, it's, you know, compost can play a huge part alongside regenerative farming practices, which I know that you've talked about on the radio.
A little bit, yeah.
Quite a bit, and Craig's dabbling in quite a bit, you know, is the potential for the soils to sequester a lot of carbon out of the atmosphere. Sequester, yeah, means like trap.
Put it back.
Put it back. Keep, yeah, it. Keep it there.
Where it was.
Where it's beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah, and compost is one of the components of the practices, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can do it at home. And also, if you're composting and keeping that organic waste out of the rubbish bags and out of the landfill, then you're also averting climate damage by, you know, preventing methane in the landfill. So all round, it's good, whether you compost at home or you donate to the food waste collection, you know, it's a really good thing to do.
Now, I should have asked this question beforehand, but we'll ask it live. Did you see that the council put out a report about the solid waste in the whole district a week or two ago?
I probably haven't.
Yeah, I noticed it because John Lawson showed me, right?
Oh,
so,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I know Karen gave it to a few people at Extreme to have a look at, or link to it.
I'm going to have a look at that.
Yeah, so it showed, and what one thing it shows, it kind of split the district into Raglan, the rest of the towns, the rural area, and up north where they've got wheelie bins.
Yes.
And Raglan looks great compared to all those other areas.
Yeah,
who are still doing stuff.
Yeah.
But I think just within ourselves, I think we're not doing maybe as well as we thought we were.
No,
it's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I think what you know, Extreme's experience is that we have to keep up the conversation in the community about our diversion and our commitment to diverting, because it's easy to fall off the system. It's easy to, you know, just slip that food waste in the rubbish bag, scrape that plate into that bag rather than have the collection or have your own compost. So it's something that we have to, you know, consciously keep doing. And of course, we've got new people moving in all the time. In fact, you know, a lot of new people
recently.
So we've got a big job ahead of us to bring everyone on board and realize how much they can divert by using the Extreme Waste services.
Yeah, I saw it. Now, I saw there was an article just in the national media, someone in Auckland complaining, they didn't like the little caddy. They were just complaining that they didn't like the compost, the food waste system with the little bags. And I thought, and they said, oh, the bags rip easily. And I realized there's a piece of advice they needed, which is don't keep jamming food waste into the bag to the point where it's kind of bulging out the gaps, because that will then rip the bag when you pull it out.
Yes.
So be disciplined. When the bag is pretty full, just get rid of it and don't just jam it in there.
Yeah, and also,
because I know from experience that's how you rip the bag.
Yeah, and some of the councils are rolling out services with solid caddies and bags.
Yeah.
And when you put...
And they don't breathe?
I was just talking to one of the suppliers last week, and I said, you do realise if you only supply the solid caddy that the bag system won't work with it, and he actually wasn't aware of that.
Why doesn't the bag work?
Cause it gets sweaty.
Right.
And then it starts decomposing. So when you try to lift the bag out after 2 days, it's already started composting.
And it stinks.
The cutaway caddy is really important. So I've been talking to our council as well about ongoing supply of the equipment and trying to keep that vented caddy system so that the bags don't fail when people try to empty them. Because, I mean, you could take your little caddy out to the bin and tip it and avoid that, but ideally we have a vented caddy.
So the bag's not strictly necessary? Does it make it easier for the process?
The bag, people love the bag systems, and they found overseas that people participation stays up higher if people they're a convenience thing.
Yeah.
To help with increasing the diversion rates. They're not ideal because they do cost money to buy, and you know, they're manufactured, so you know, it's it would be better to not have them at all, but people aren't used to washing out slimy bins from food waste generally, you know.
We used to do that when I was a kid. My parents had a compost, and so we would do that.
it was slimy.
yeah My grandfather, he had an amazing garden because he was always using the, you know, the food waste was a huge part of his process. But we're talking about a man who was born in around about 1910.
Yeah, or even in a generation, I think we've lost that ability or acceptability of doing that kind of thing in the home.
Yeah.
There's a few other things I could mention that we don't do anymore and for the sake of convenience.
Yeah.
And maybe people think of it as it's more sanitary to just put it in the bin. There's a whole lot of behaviour stuff that if you want to unpack behaviour change around food waste, I've got a really interesting diagram that you could have a look at.
I have a question about COVID because we got – there was the messaging there was about being safe from bugs.
Yes.
Right? And I know the word – I know it wasn't a bug, but I'm just saying there's that whole thing about keeping distant and clean and sanitizing, and your compost bin feels the opposite of that. And I wonder if our food waste went backwards a little bit because of that through COVID. People were like, ooh, yuck, we're supposed to be keeping clean.
Maybe.
It's an emotional response rather than a thought out one, but that's what you get with populations.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I haven't kind of talked to anyone about that, so that would be interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Just a thought right now. That
during lockdowns, our food waste donations went up because people were at home, I guess. But I don't think we noticed. You know, I haven't done any household interviews. It would be really timely. I'd love to do some household interviews around the food waste collection and find out.
Council has to roll their food waste out to the rest of the district. Yeah. They should do these questions now.
I think
they
learn a lot.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk to through my managers, of course, to council about perhaps doing that, because I think we could learn a lot. We did it during the trials, way back.
It was a huge consultation process.
Where you and I used to talk regularly, and we did household interviews, and it was really, really enlightening how people felt about their food waste, what they did with it. You know, we found out how many people were composting. We had 100 houses, so it was a nice, convenient number for working out percentages.
Yes, of course.
So that's something that we'd like to do. We'd like to find out how people are managing out there with the...
Yeah.
You know, we're keen to improve it, tweak it, change it. So the only way we can do that really is by talking to people about... how they're finding the service. So,
yeah. And it's a great way of engaging people too. Like people would feel like they're part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure the people at Rag and West, which is where you did the trial several years ago, I feel like they felt they were part of something.
Yeah.
Maybe not every person, but yeah. All right, Liz, well, look, thank you for coming in. And I'll remind people that if you want to hear more of the detail about compost and things like that, Liz is on Craig's show Over the Fence at 12:30 today. I don't know what time the interview's starting, but...
I think it's more like 1:30 he's interviewing me.
Okay,
yeah,
so it'll be later.
Maybe he's doing something else first.
Craig is scheduled for 12:30, but he never seems to start at 12:30. Craig, are you out there? it's all good, yeah. Lunchtime. It's a lunchtime farming rural interest show.
Yeah.
So, and you guys will be talking. What are you talking about, Liz?
I think we're talking about the value of compost to agriculture.
Okay, there we go. That sounds right.
Yeah, you know, it'll be a nice lead into that movie. Yes, it's like feed your mind. next week.
Craig has texted 12:45 interview is about.
Oh, 12:45. I'll just check my email.
Yeah, Craig. I hope you got it right in the email. All right, Liz, thank you for coming in.